This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 6:35 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Kelvin. We're going to continue our conversation about women, women's rights and gender equality in conjunction with International Women's Day. Earlier we spoke to Sudha Nae, who's been a social worker for over 30 years. And now we're travelling to another industry entirely. We're going to focus our conversation on women in STEM because traditionally, I suppose, there's been a bit of a gender gap there. We also want to hear from you. Do you work in STEM? And also, do you work in a workplace where there is gender equality? Because if you do, we really want to hear from you. WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Our next guest is Ayu Abdullah, the Southeast Asia Regional Director of a nonprofit called Energy Action Partners. Thank you, Ayu, for joining us on the program. So we'd say that you are living proof that anyone with the drive can be in STEM, regardless of gender. But of course, gender stereotypes are often introduced in childhood, and that would influence a girl's interest and decision to eventually pursue the sciences. Talk to us about your personal experiences with overcoming those stereotypes that do tend to happen in some form or another.
Well, first of all, I think that there are a lot of amazing women doing wonderful things in STEM careers, STEM fields in Malaysia. I just kind of want to give a shout out to say that there's lots of female role models out there for STEM in Malaysia. And then, to answer your question, I think I've been rather fortunate because I grew up in a family with all girls, so I don't have brothers. And so I had a lot of all-female spaces growing up, and nobody to really tell me that I couldn't do certain things just because I was a girl or that, something was more of like a boy activity. So I grew up playing with cars, Lego sets, and Barbie dolls that were all hand-me-downs from my sister. I just happened to like, mechanical things more as a child. And my parents never really stopped me. They didn't actively encourage it either, but they didn't stop me from doing it. And then I spent some years in primary school in co-ed environments, but then the rest of my schooling, including secondary school, was also in all-girls schools. And so having that all-female space, gave me sort of this environment to feel free to explore things without having anyone tell me whether something was more male or female. And I think that's important to overcome those gender stereotypes that are very early on introduced to children. So actually, a lot of women who, persist in STEM careers, one sort of reason why they persist is because they disregard it, right? Or they're able to overcome and dismiss it. And so I think you would find that if you were to ask a lot of female engineers and scientists if they experienced those stereotypes growing up, some of them would say yes, but many would say yes, but, they weren't very important at the time or I didn't pay much attention to them.
So you've studied and worked both here in KL and abroad. When you reflect back, particularly through the lens of gender and equality, what were those experiences like?
So I've worked in the West. I've worked in the East as well. Like I lived in China for a year and then I've also worked in the Middle East. And actually looking back on all those experiences, I actually enjoyed my time the most in the Middle East as a female engineer, because there were a lot of allowances for families and it was very family oriented. And so being a mother of a young child, it was very easy for me in the Middle East. That's a bit surprising. I know a lot of people always are surprised when I tell them that actually as a female engineer, I found it easiest in a Gulf country rather than in the US or, in Denmark. But that was my experience. And I was working at a graduate research institute, so it was also an academic institution. But my colleagues, professors, staff were all very supportive and very accommodating when I needed to, take time off for to take care of my child or when I needed to work around my schedule as a new mother. There was a lot of emphasis also on, family comes first. And so it's okay. It was sort of normal for mothers to just step out and step back in without there being any retribution for that. So that was the kind of support that I really appreciated.
I'm not going to lie, I didn't expect that particular region to be the one that you were going to highlight there. Another thing when it comes to working in STEM fields is the work environment in male-dominated fields have this reputation, right, of being fraught with bias, with discrimination. Was that something, and is that something you have to contend with?
Yes, every day. I'm still living that reality right now. So I'm going to be honest. When it comes to the discussion on gender equality or inequality, I am a late bloomer. I've only been aware of gender issues, or at least had the language to express it in the last 5 years or so. Before that, I was happily going around almost thinking, oh yeah, there's a lot of, you know, there are more guys than girls in my field. And so now that I'm more aware, then I definitely can recognize it and aware that it happens to me. But it has always happened to me, these things. You know, the common thing is people don't think that you're as technically skilled if you're a female. And so, you know, I've been in situations where someone will ask me for numbers about a system design and I'll answer it, and the person will look at me again and then turn to my male colleague and ask, and he answers the exact same thing, and he's like, oh, okay, yeah, sure. And I'm just thinking, that's exactly what I said. So it definitely happened, things like that. And it still happens now to me, unfortunately. And that's my frustration, actually, that, you know, like, how many solar installers do you know who are female, right? That's versus, I don't know, women who are relegated to these coordinator, organizer roles, and not necessarily the hard, you know, technical roles. Women who talk about public policy on energy, like, there's lots of that, but then there's no, like, women who are actually doing, like, the technical installation and things like that. It kind of frustrates me.
What are the barriers that stop women from pursuing the more technically demanding roles? Or I guess, is it just a perception or understanding that these are not the jobs for you, I guess, in what some people would say?
You definitely can, but you'll be in an even more male-dominated space than, you know, sort of looking at the sector as a whole, right? Because even within the sector, I think there's, like, little sub-spaces. It's like engineering, right? Everybody is like, oh, you know, we've got lots of female engineers, but where are they? They're all in chemical engineering. So it's like things like that, right? Or people kind of use it as an excuse to, like, say that, no, we've got lots of female engineers. But then when you look at it properly, you realize that they're all going into one discipline because they see it as more female. So there's, like, you know, gender associated with, like, different disciplines, which I guess my frustration is with this idea that there are inherent skills. And I blame this on women as well, because we are also part of the problem, because a lot of women tend to say that we're nurturing and we're organized, you know, and that's why we're better negotiators and things like that. But you can't have it both ways. You know, when men say that, like, oh, you guys aren't good at programming, and it's like, well, that's wrong, but it's also wrong for you to say the other thing, even if it paints you in a positive light. Like, so it's like both the same thing, just on different ends of the spectrum. So I get frustrated because I think that, no, we don't have inherent skills. What has happened is that we've been conditioned because of gender roles. We've been conditioned to think that we're nurturing. We've been conditioned to, you know, take on these, like, yeah, child caring roles and being mothers. And so we are forced to be organized, or forced to be, to have, you know, better negotiating skills, for example. And it doesn't mean that it was inherently in us. It's just that our environments caused that. And so that's what I like to argue against. Like, first, we need to change this. We need to change it so that people don't think that we, you know, yes, we can go into science, but we'll go into these, like, small spaces in science because they're more female, like, friendly, you know, and things like that. And say, like, no, come on. I mean, it's all open, right?
And I suppose, you know, these sorts of gender-biased outcomes aren't necessarily things that any one person or any one company can immediately identify and go, hey, that's the one we need to solve. It's tricky to navigate, to say the least.
Yeah, it's very tricky to navigate. I mean, it depends on the situation and who you're speaking with, right? And what kind of conversation are you having with each other, and the types of negotiation that is taking place. And so I haven't been in the right situation where I felt like, okay, this time I need to speak up, you know. And maybe that's wrong on me. Maybe I should be speaking up every single time it happens. But sometimes it gets tiring, I think, if you were to do that.
How much does culture play into the speed and ways in which you demand for parity? Because if you're culturally brought up to be polite and obedient, then challenging the status quo in a big way might be almost impossible to comprehend.
Yeah, exactly. I've taken part in a few events and conferences internationally on gender and STEM. And one thing that I've taken away from these activities is that there's sort of a gender stereotype that is universal, you know, that females aren't as technical or aren't sometimes inherently capable of technical skills. Those type of biases and issues. But I think that because every country is different, we have our own culture, we have our own values, there's a lot of issues and solutions that don't translate across boundaries. And so then I think it's very important that when we look at the West and we look at what has happened there and the solutions that are coming from there, it's important to localize a lot of the things that we want to bring over or to adopt for ourselves. That's something that I guess when I mentioned working in the Middle East, I was working in the UAE for 3 years. And it's not perfect, of course. They have their own challenges with gender inequality. But I think that there's been a lot of push from the government to support female participation in STEM fields. And I think one thing that they've done is they've done it not at the expense of their local culture and values. And I think that's what we need to remember, that whatever we do, we have to make sure that it accommodates or is, you know, well integrated with our local customs and culture.
So there have been a host of initiatives to increase the participation of women, not just in STEM, but across the board, right? These include affirmative action, trying to bridge the pay gap, providing better childcare support. We hear this being announced by the government and then appearing in the news. But for many companies, this continues not to be a part of their reality. How should conversations about gender parity at the workplace begin?
I think what needs to happen first is we need to have discussions to raise awareness on it first, because nobody is going to come up or nobody's going to agree to different solutions if they don't see it as a problem, right? And so I think there's a lot of people who still don't see why we need to change anything or that, you know, that it's even a problem. And so first of all, we need to be bringing it up and having conversations with our colleagues, our peers, our mentors, our mentees about these experiences that we're facing, and just have it, you know, have them be exposed to it enough where they start to see that, okay, these are patterns and trends that are happening. And so I think we first of all need to start bringing it up, right, in just everyday conversations with our colleagues and, you know, over mama and coffee and things like that. And then once, you know, that sort of that grows and there's a recognition of that, then I think we can start working towards, you know, more targeted discussions in the workplace and how we want to address that in different, you know, corporate cultures and workplaces.
So when we look at households, women are still unfortunately taking up the biggest share of unpaid domestic chores and unpaid childcare. It's a bit of a depressing question, but do you think that, you know, this means that the odds are forever stacked against women?
So I think the role that we play as mothers is extremely important to change that. So as we educate and bring up the next generation, right, if right now we're sort of stuck in sort of the dominant childcare role, I think it's important for us to raise our kids so that they recognize that, you know, those roles can go either way. And so as we raise our girls and boys to recognize that, you know, take more responsibility at home, you know, with the sort of traditional housekeeping roles and tasks, I think we are able to shift that. And so I don't think that that's going to be the way forever, and at least I hope not. But I think that that requires a lot of effort from not just, you know, the society as a whole, but also mothers playing that role.
So the theme for International Women's Day this year is Balance for Better. What does that mean for you?
Mm-hmm. Well, balance to me is kind of hard to think about, because balance usually means that you have an equilibrium point that you're working around. So you have kind of like a target. And I sort of am, you know, I believe in there being sort of organic growth and letting things happen on their own, but shifting it when it gets too extreme. And so to me, I think like everything in moderation is the way that I am choosing to define balance, right? So there's sort of like a middle path. And I think that it's important because it benefits everyone, right? When we're too extreme on one side or another, then, you know, there's sort of an imbalance and it sort of reflects something that's off. So I'm trying. I couldn't really understand the balance of everything. We're living in a very human, complex human system, right? And you're never going to have like a perfect equilibrium. It's always going to be, you know, tipped, right? It's never going to be perfectly in the middle. So you're going to have a range that you're comfortable with. And then, now we have started, you know, from the West as well, like we started hearing about these discussions about worrying that we're going too far, and like, you know, we have to start worrying about our boys as well, right? And so, you know, and that's the risk, I think, when you're on one side, you know, when you're too extreme on one side, right?
Ayu, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Ayu Abdullah, the Southeast Asia Regional Director of a nonprofit called Energy Action Partners, speaking about her experience of studying and working in STEM. We want to hear from you as well. Are you a STEM graduate? Are you working in that field? You know, what has your experience been like in terms of the gender gap? And, you know, in general, if you're working, what's the gender equality like in your workplace? Let us know. 7733 2900 is the number to call. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.